Okay, I did something really bad, and I'm not lying. Oh, Jesus Christ. Just talk me through it here, or help me. Okay, you know, Stephen and Kevin are on the show this week, and I heard, I guess you could say I did, like, sort of my own Misery, you know, the movie Misery. I did something like that with those guys. I heard they were... Fuck! Sorry. I heard they were working on another movie. I locked them in the basement of the podcast studio. And they have food and water and everything. I'm not, like, crazy, but I wanted them to put me in the new movie. And I can't tell you what the new movie is or about, but I just wanted them to rewrite it with a big part in it for me. I don't need a fucking little part. So now they're mad. And just do me a favor. Can you tweet at them? Can you please tweet at them and, like, just tell them everything's going to be all right and not to be mad at me? And if I can... Oh, God. Anyway, all right, that bit's over. Well, it's not a bit. Seriously, tweet at those guys. It's not a bit. It's the truth. Tweet at them. Say I heard that Todd's got you locked in the basement of the podcast studio. Tell them it's going to be okay. Alrighty. Hey, by the way, we're bringing those guys back, and we're going to do a... I don't know. I want to do, a mushroom episode with them. I think that would be so much fun, or at least maybe something. Very strong pot, at least. I like how... First of all, I don't like when I laugh at my own things, but I like how it goes from mushrooms to at least strong pot. No, let's do mushrooms. Why not? We're full-grown adults. So are you a full-grown adult? You're not, though. You're not. You are. You're not. You might be. I don't know how old you are. All right, everybody, this is it. It's the opening to the show. Like I said, in case you're only listening to this episode, maybe you don't listen to the show regularly. Oh, this is the longest opening if you're not a regular listener. Why do I even think about that? You know, somebody that's just, you know, a fan of theirs, wants to hear the interview, but they're like, what the fuck? This is the longest opening in the world. It is. But I'm bringing these guys. I want these guys to come back because the first time, I don't got to explain it again. Just have fun. Enjoy the show. Goodbye. Tweet those guys right now. I'm not shitting around. All right? Bye.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
You guys have name tags? Can we?
Kevin.
No, I got it.
All right, really? Kevin. Well, I don't know.
No, I'm good. Kevin and Steve. I'm not stupid.
But let me just, I just want to make sure. Daniel.
Embarrassing. Turn their mics off so I can talk to Keena.
What are you going to do? Hello.
Can I put theme tags on? What are you, stupid? Turn their mics off. So I can talk to them. That's fucking embarrassing.
Why would their mics have to be off for you to talk to me? Isn't there
No, because the joke was that I'm so stupid. That I'm so stupid that I don't... Oh, you're right.
Yeah, turn their headphones on.
Anyway, I know. Come on, guys. I'm seeing if you're alert.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Let's go.
A very funny guy, Todd Glass.
Mm-hmm.
If you fucking call me back this time, then don't call me ever again, because we're done.
Hello?
The Todd Glass Show.
I'll do this whole show so I can play with this phone voice.
Hello?
Hey,
hello?
Zach.
Is that guy on Africa?
Listen, man, I really want to come on the podcast. I've got stuff to promote.
Yeah. I don't know what to say during the opening anymore,
but I feel like people want me to do it.
Todd Glass.
A lot of pressure.
Ryan Regan. Again.
Ryan Regan.
If you don't want me to do the podcast...
Call the police. I'm not even joking around.
I don't know. Let me know that. Do you want me to beg?
Todd, it's Marin. Mark. I'm the guy who can't come on the Todd Glass Show. What do I fucking need to do?
His very funny podcast, The Todd Glass Show, can be found at Nerdist.com. Please welcome Todd Glass.
From the beautiful Las Vegas Strip.
This is every week. It's exciting.
High atop Black Horse Motors, it's The Todd Glass Show.
There's a lot of pomp and circumstance.
There's a lot going on there.
Yeah, sometimes when I play it, I realize how long it is. But what are you going to do?
It's very professional.
Thank you.
You got it. I wish
you know
we
what?
Had
Seriously,
like that.
Kevin, I knew the second I met you, you were going to say nice things.
He's very complimentary.
He is very complimentary.
It's a great blouse you have on there.
A blouse. I would never.
It's a compliment. Come on.
You know what's funny about that? You're right. You can't. If you say that to someone, how can they?
What are they going
to
say?
Like a guy walking on the street that you want to annoy him. Like right. A guy that looks like a dick. You see him at the mall. You go, that's a beautiful blouse.
Right.
Hey, this isn't a blouse. Be the guy.
I think it's good looking. I just think it's good looking.
But I'm not. I'm wearing a fucking blouse.
No. It's whatever it is. I like it. What can you? I like it.
Yeah, but you don't got to say blouse.
I'm sorry.
He always gives
a
right
top.
At the end.
What if he's the top? It's a nice top.
Can't you say shirt? All right, let me get this out of the way. I always get nervous when we have guests. You know, anybody we don't know. So I'm gonna start the show, and I'm gonna get this part out of the way. Petrified. I'm gonna say your names wrong. Even though I will say this first. Now, a lot of times, this is the part talking about.
Okay.
But I'm gonna say it, and then I'll feel better the rest of the show. My big thing is when I meet someone, I say I don't get starstruck, but I get talent struck. So if somebody that does something that makes me, really does it for me, I get a little bit, like that. Right. So I will start by saying, and always the thing is when I meet new people, do I tell them I'm a big fan? You deal with the same thing, right? You're like, no. So I fucking love what you guys do.
Thank you.
And you know why I'm saying it? Because our listeners that feel the same way are like, yes, it's not that I like what you do. It's I call it high candy, and it will fucking do it for you. Mm. And from Super Troopers is where I like, as probably a lot of people.
Yeah.
And Beer Fest, the same thing. I mean, there were times watching it with my friends. I was like, this. First of all, I don't think marijuana makes bad. And it's a huge compliment. And then we'll have a blast. But just sit back and listen to the compliment.
You can draw it out.
I can draw it out. Yeah. So what was I just saying? Hold on about.
Pot
pot does not make bad things seem good. It amplifies stuff. If it's bad, it seems worse.
Right.
If it's good, it'll just let you go down that path with them so much more. So when people ask if you're high, I always feel like they're trying to say like. But when you're high and you watch that movie with that in mind, I'm like, this is just fucking torture. It's like they're getting in my head and they know, no, they could handle it a little bit more. Do it 2 more minutes. And I'm like, thank you fucking God. Because they're right. I can handle more of it. They make me have a goddamn heart attack. And that's what it happens. So I was excited when you guys were coming in today.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you for having us.
You're welcome.
I know what you're talking about. I got stoned one time and watched the movie The Other Sister with Giovanna Ribisi and
I love that movie.
Juliette Lewis, really?
In a way that
because I'm about to slam it. I just went
in a way that it was so unintentionally hilarious.
Well, but that was the thing though. It's like there was the commercial where Juliette Lewis goes, "Who invented sex?" And then Giovanna Ribisi goes, "I think it was Madonna."
Oh,
and that was a trailer moment.
But it's such a bad joke.
Yeah, but so I was like, "I'm gonna get fucking stoned and watch this movie, and by myself and have a great time." And it sent me like, it actually made me feel bad about myself.
Really? Because it's funny without the weed too. It was very funny.
You felt guilty.
I felt guilty.
But hold on here, that I'm saying that your movie is without marijuana, fucking. I shouldn't say your movie, what you guys do in general, they're the two things that resonated with me the most so far. But now I'm probably being paranoid.
No, I was doing the bad version.
Okay.
Of what you were saying.
I get it.
So
I
thank
get
you
it.
For the compliment.
Yeah, you're saying
you're welcome.
It amplifies it, and it amplified it in a bad way.
For yeah, for me.
Right. Oh, right. Thank you.
I got it.
Oh, my God.
And Jesus. You have a great blouse.
Is that the best music in the world?
That's excellent.
I can't stop.
Looney Tunes.
Imagine
if Looney Tunes?
We had a program director and he made us play that behind the whole interview. You guys came in, you're like, wait, I thought it was like a podcast. I didn't know they were going to play
vaudevillian.
No, it seems
comedy.
It's professional.
It's funny if you play it after anything. Just say, it doesn't have to be funny. Just say, that's a nice blouse.
Great blouse.
Is it funny after something tragic?
It might be. Do the guy that throws.
My father lost his leg to diabetes recently.
It does make Is that true?
Yeah.
That's what.
But he's handled it really well.
If you go to see Patch Adams, that's what they play after a diagnosis. Like, I'm sorry, you have AIDS.
Right. 1 second will kill a whole bit. All right. Let's, so there we go. So we got that. Oh, one more thing. What if it's like 50 minutes later? I'm still going, one more thing.
Oh, that another thing.
I get drunker and drunker. I'm like, you guys, no, you don't get it. There's nothing worse than someone compliments you and then you say thank you and they go, no, right. No, no. Like, well, listen.
Seriously.
Seriously. Like, what do you need to do to know that I appreciate what you're saying? No, no, no. No, I hear you. You are No, no, no. You don't get the way I mean it. All right, I got lost there. But, no, I used to not know how to describe how to come to my show because people go, you know, as you know, you're dealing with, which we'll talk about, as you know, touring now.
Yeah, yeah.
And then sometimes in the radio, people ask you, like, what do you do? Describe it. And it's always hard for me. So I used to go, well, I can't tell you what my show's like. But after 25 years of not being able to say anything, I started saying, it's not – my show has nothing to do with Super Troopers. I don't want them to, like, miss out. But if you don't like Super Troopers, you probably – hey, you might. I don't want to be negative, mm-hmm. but you probably won't like my show. Right. And that was my best way to eliminate people because I thought that was a helpful sign. We'll take a
really?
Break.
Really?
Yeah, you don't – yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah, if somebody said it wasn't, like, their favorite movie, but if they didn't like it at all, nah, because it's that silliness. That if they don't tap into that, then they probably wouldn't like my show.
Yeah.
So, we're not so different.
Yeah.
You and I.
That's what I was trying to say.
How many times have you seen Super Troopers, Todd?
I don't want to turn into this, but no. Probably.
It won't be more than me, so it doesn't. That's okay. Yeah. It's okay.
I remember you saying in your show, asking people, or maybe even off stage, saying, how often do you like to get high and watch Super Troopers at like 2 o'clock in the morning?
No,
or when you come home from something.
In your act, they used to go, you know, smoking a little bit of pot, watching Super Troopers, never killed anybody.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Did the crowd react to that?
Yes.
They laugh at that?
Yeah, it always gets a great reaction. And young people like it. You know why right. young people like you guys? Because young people know what's going on. And they have their pulse on what's funny. Mm-hmm. It's yep. true. Mm-hmm. You know why? They're not miserable yet, so they still...
there's no cynicism yet.
Yeah, there's no... It's they're at a good place. They're always on the forefront of what's good musically and funny and everything like that. You know what I was thinking would be a fun thing to do?
Tell us.
I know what you're doing.
No, but I was thinking that we were just, you know, we did some college shows this past weekend, and we were actually laughing about a lot of college students came up to us and said that we were their father's favorite movie actors.
Oh my God.
Which was.
I just literally talked about this today.
Oh, you did? Okay.
No, that's why I love it. So what do you say
it's
when.
True. It's like, oh, thank you.
Wow. Oh,
like,
that's great.
My dad loves you. Can I take a picture and send it to my dad? Here, can you leave a voice message on my dad's phone?
We talked to somebody's dad.
Yeah.
Who was like, dude, the fuck, like, tell me you boys like Mexico. I'm like, you boys like Mexico? And he's like, oh, that's fucking awesome. I just handed him off, you know, to Heffernan.
Right. And then gave it back to the guy's daughter. The guy's daughter, who's 20 years old, and she was
I started to do this, and I stopped myself. Literally just talked about this yesterday, is going... Oh, come on. You remind me of your uncle I hear now. And they would go, I would go, oh, come on, Don, what do you mean uncle? And I thought, stop doing that, Todd. You're their uncle's age. Just fucking relax.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But at first I would always get me like, no, come on, I've gotten there, you know. And that happened 10 years ago. But yeah.
But that's a hard thing to realize. That's a hard, because I don't think anybody ever like realizes, you don't realize you're old on your own. You realize you're old when somebody tells you you're old.
And or when people around you grow old and everyone you see on a daily basis is acting old, is old with comedy, with what we do. That doesn't really happen because you just remain in this state of arrested development for the rest of your life.
You go home.
That's a really – that's, you know, something you think but well said, almost like a quote. Like you don't. You don't realize till other people remind you.
Yeah. Little
and
things.
That's why it sucks more because you're like, hey, if you didn't say anything, I feel great. I'm still creatively doing what I want to do. I'm not miserable in my – you know, like I'm not making fun of people that – I'm not saying that don't do stand-up comedy or do whatever we all do, but – if you're not doing something that makes you happy, that I forgot. It's a great thing about going off on tangents. I knew I was making sense about
we're still having fun.
What were we talking? Oh yeah, that's
even though
right.
we're old.
Even though, well, you know, oh that's right. When I was 20,
you're a fine host. I want you to know that.
you know what? I think you mean that.
I do. I do.
Thank you. When I was 20, I was opening up for. This has to do with age. Don't think I'm just deciding to tell you a story about Patti LaBelle.
Nobody ever says that, by the way.
Nobody. Nobody. No one's ever but me. There's no way someone out there said, I don't listen. I don't mean to. this has to do with the age thing, is that she had just turned 40. And I was 20, so some of my brothers were younger, and my friends were 18, my brothers were 16. We'd stand by the stage and watch her perform every night, and we'd go, here's me, maybe 25 times while I opened up for her. Hal, she had just turned 40, so it was like I knew it. She had her birthday while we were on this little tour. I go, Hal, how old do you think she is? To my brother. They would guess, whatever. I go, 40. And it would be like, shut the fuck up. So a few years ago when I realized that, I thought, you know what? It might have been 50. It seriously might have been 50. Because no, I'm not stupid. At 20, I knew 40, you could still dance. I was 20. No, I Googled her age. She turned 40 in that year I opened up for her. So like we thought 40 was like fucking nuts for her to be able to
what
dance
were you
around.
Opening for like what
stand up?
But like what was she like? Were you?
She
what
was
kind
on
venues.
She
you?
Was on Broadway. It was crazy.
She was on the On My Own tour. I don't.
I did a movie with her.
With
you
did?
You did?
Didn't you?
Was she nice?
Very nice. She was very nice. But it was a gospel movie. Well, it's a funny story, but not a great story. But the guy who paid for Super Troopers, he after we did Super Troopers and he cashed in, he said, "Let's
there's I want to hear that story."
Yeah, that's
okay.
Why.
Okay. And so this guy said, "I have another movie I want to make.
What's going on?
I want to make a gospel movie."
Just
that's
be a little
me.
Careful with the mic.
Sorry. He said, "I want to make a gospel movie."
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "I don't know anything about gospel." He goes, "Yeah, but you wrote Super Troopers. Come on, can you write this gospel movie for me?" I said, "Okay." I wrote a gospel movie, and then Patti LaBelle was in it. And
Eartha Kitt.
And Eartha Kitt, yeah.
What was it called?
The late
It was
Eartha
called
Kitt.
Preaching to the Choir.
Hmm.
What a great name, right?
Did you write Super Troopers?
We all did.
All of you guys did together?
Yeah.
So, can you tell that story of how that got made? That's a great story.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like a...
Do you want the long version?
Yes.
Okay.
The long version of how we started out that kind of business.
I love every story.
You guys were doing Broken Lizard. Already, right?
Yeah.
Wait, did you go to law school?
I did. I went to law school. Yeah.
And you took the bar exam?
I did take the bar exam.
And
I passed.
Oh my God!
He knows.
Where's the funny music? Put the funny music on.
Come on, Chris.
I passed the bar.
Chris.
Thank you,
Mr. Heffernan. Congratulations!
Thank
you passed the bar.
Thank you. Here is your diploma.
All right, guys, let me take a fake break.
Okay.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back right after this. All right, we're back. Old school.
Talk about old. This is why we got the bad rap of being old, guys.
You know what? Oh, I want to hear this.
Okay.
But I got to acknowledge what you just said. That's what sucks about my taste in music. I liked it when I was 18, 17, 15. I liked bubblegum, stupid, silly music. Now that I'm getting older, I think, oh my God, do they think that's like my first choice in music? So I get really paranoid when I like bubblegum.
Yeah, but you can't. No, but you can't. I grew up in New York City, and so whenever I would have, I'd bring girlfriends home to meet my parents, and I would walk them around the neighborhood that I grew up in. I would say that used to be a pizzeria, that was a Manufacturers Hanover Trust Bank. It's now a Gap. That was the Gimbel's department store, and I realized that's
Gimbel's.
What my grandparents did to
oh.
me.
Oh, God.
No, but you know it's like
you do that.
Oh yeah.
You don't.
Oh my God, I'm going to stop it.
You don't try to be old. You just are old by virtue of being old. You know,
it's deep shit.
No,
yeah, it's good stuff. But let me tell you something.
No, but I've been thinking about this because I have a baby now. I have a baby, and I've been thinking about the fact that it's like, no matter what I do, I will always be so fucking stupid to that kid because I don't have time to keep up with the technology, right? And at some point, I'm going to have to ask. It's like when I tried to turn my dad onto the DVD player. I had
or internet porn.
It's true.
There you go.
By the way, I want you to know, Chris, I think you're getting old on that computer over there because you're not fast. Your reaction time is slow.
You know what I know?
Blame
in
it
his
on the
head,
equipment.
He's thinking, I should tighten up a little bit.
Yeah. He blame it on the equipment.
He put his beer. What are you? That's what he does do usually.
Blame it on the equipment.
He does a great job, and what we won't turn him into, I say I'm never going to make fun of him. You know, every morning show you go to, they go out there and take a shit in the street and see if our listeners will drive by and on. So, you know what I mean? There's a lot of the morning shows. Anyway, all right. Okay, so hold on. I want to react to. Thank you. But hold on. And then I did not forget
about
you, young man.
We want to go back to this.
I don't know where we are. Where are we?
When I finish talking to Steve about this, I want you to finish your story about the
Super Troopers.
The financing.
Right.
But you said something about that. There's where Gimbel's used to be. There's where that used to be.
Yeah.
And
gimbals.
Gimbals. Did I say it wrong?
No, no, you did. I'm just reminding you. The gimbals are so goddamn old.
They were amazing.
Ding, like Pan Am.
Ding, 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 ding. That used to happen at gimbals when you walked through.
The 40s.
Oh, yeah.
It would be like a way they would page people.
Yeah, like next to Bloomingdale's, also, there was Alexander's and Corvettes. I don't know if anybody remembers. If anybody grew up in New York City.
Corvettes, yes.
I remember Alexander's.
Okay. Those are the cheapy Bloomingdale's.
Yeah.
Like gimbals.
Yeah.
Well, wait, you're talking about going back.
I'm just saying there's no way to get around sounding old. You can't do it. It's like when I look at the fashion today or the music, you know, it's like I'm a huge Rolling Stones fan. When Limp Bizkit came out, like they're a fine band. They're a fine band. But for me, it was too much. It was too much for me. Right now, I sound old.
You do. Mm-hmm. You sound like an old man right now.
Yeah, but this is what I'm talking about. It's like I still listen to the classic rock stations. My kid is now, like I put it on the TV, on the DirecTV. I go to channel 703 for classic rock on my TV. Right. And the kid is, that's like the equivalent of me, my father's from Argentina. That's the equivalent of me listening to my dad's tango records when I was growing up.
Well, there's no way to tell you to be, because you have to just be who you are. But you can fight. I'm not saying like, oh, I like that band, so you shouldn't listen to them so people think you're hip. No, but you can. I bet you're progressive. I would feel weary if you're not progressive in any area. Like my uncle, when he was 75, I admired him because he knew music, and he stayed progressive with music, proving your mind. And he said something we came up with together jokingly about the bands of today. He goes, yes, there are better. There was more music back then. There's no defying it. But he goes, there's a lot of good music today. He goes, but remember, people just talk about the good music back then. I was like, yeah, Shamalama Ding Dong was on their dime, but no one talks about the, you know,
sure.
The Sha-na-na and all that crap. So I think there's good music today.
But there's a reason that people still listen to the Rolling Stones.
Well, because that's...
You know, like Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd.
Timeless.
They're still very... Yes. Yeah, they're timeless. Yeah. They'll never get...
Well, and the audiences, and also the audiences that go see them, you know that that you're holding on to at least good music because they're all over the place because young kids love them too.
I went to see the Stones with my dad 3 times.
Yeah,
I got a little.
And you can still see the Stones today.
Yeah, they're touring again.
Yeah,
but that's like I was on an airplane. I was sitting next to a college guy, a high school girl. They didn't know each other, and then I was on the window. The high school girl was in the middle. The college guy was on the aisle, and they started talking. Mm-hmm. And because first of all, she started hitting on him because she was all into him, and it turned out he went to college, and so she was like, "I'm a senior, I'm going to be in college next year. Like, tell me what that's all about." And by the way, her body position, her back was to me. She had turned all the way to the left. Now listen, I don't care like what you guys think about the way I look or act or anything like that, but
you look great.
Thank you.
I'm a ball.
But I. That was nice. That was nice. But I wanted some goddamn attention.
You look great.
I wanted some attention from the high school girl.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, and so. she had her back turned to me. And then she and the guy started talking, and he was like, yeah, college is, you know, it's a challenge, you know, it can be like, and I was like, motherfucking asshole dick. Piece of shit. Like, fuck you. I'm 40. Fuck you. And then and then she said to him, like, do you know Deadmau5? And he was like, of course I know Deadmau5. And meanwhile, inside I was like, I don't know what Deadmau5 is. And I was on a plane, so I couldn't check my cell phone. I couldn't go online to do it, and it was just killing me. Deadmau5. It was etched into my brain. I landed, and the first thing I did off the plane, like when you can turn on the cell phone, I didn't check my messages. I typed in Deadmau5, right? Only
famous
to be told
DJ.
that it's spelled
M-A-U-S.
M-A-U-5.
Oh.
Ooh.
It's okay. Not even an S back there. It's a 5.
Okay. Did anyone know that in the room? Okay, here we go.
Katie.
Oh, I lied just to look young. Okay.
Anyway.
Katie's got her finger on the pulse.
I
we're old.
I saw them in Las Vegas, and I came home the next day. It was almost a parody of I only had to see them for 5 minutes.
Who's
them?
Who's them?
Deadmau5.
Oh, it's a group?
He's a DJ.
Okay.
Am I right?
I think so.
Yeah,
really
he's a DJ.
No, I think you're thinking of Dangermau5.
No.
Dangermau5 is a DJ.
Or Modest Mouse.
Or Mickey Mouse. I'm thinking of Mickey Mouse. What if that's how far away I was?
I was thinking that
I saw them
Nazi,
all together. The mice.
What? That Nazi parable that Spiegel, it was a graphic novel.
You got to have the title, Carrie.
Mouse.
All
right.
Yeah.
Listen, here's the way. Look how I run a tight ship here. You ready?
What?
Hold on. I'm making very formulaic, which it isn't.
Going
what's going on? Why? What's wrong, Steve?
I'm
okay.
So thirsty. I'm getting out of beer.
I want to. I want to hear the story, and then after that, I just want everyone to know what they're. I want everything to lay it out for them. After you tell your story that Daniel and I wanted to know, then we're going to reminisce. We're going to talk like we've known each other for years and see how we all do.
Okay.
You know, like I remember when you guys walked in. You can say, and you know, we got special music, and I think it could be fun.
Okay.
I almost want to get a
Steve,
beer.
Do you have a bottle opener iPhone case?
I do.
That is really
that
cool.
is pretty great.
It's coming very handy.
I do. Yeah,
I bet you that college.
And it looks like it's gotten a lot of use over the years.
It has. Well, you know, I've had the bottle openers on my baseball hat, and I've had them on my flip flops.
Oh. Flip flops are cool.
Yeah, but it's
the
like,
bottle opener.
But to take off the shoe and
it's
do it
gross.
On the beach, it's dirty. Sand. It's
I agree with whatever you say. Yeah. First, I went. Oh, I like doing the flip flops. You go, it's gross. Me too. Same thing. Come on, whatever these guys totally say, I'm agreeing with. And Gary, you shut your fucking mouth. Like, what if they say something you know I don't agree with? I go, thank you. Yeah. And they're like, Todd, you feel the opposite. Shut your fucking mouth. I'll edit this out. These guys know what they're talking about.
Super Troopers.
Super
Troopers.
Oh, Super Troopers. So, I mean, I could talk for hours
on it. That wasn't your first movie, was it?
No, we made it. We all went to college together.
Mm-hmm.
We started a sketch comedy group there.
What college was it?
Colgate University.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Upstate New York.
In the Patriot League.
Yes, the Patriot League.
Yeah. Well, I'm a Northeast guy.
Where are you from?
Massachusetts.
Okay.
Peabody, Massachusetts.
You're a masshole?
Peabody.
Yeah.
Gary Goldman, so I don't forget to say it, I'm going to say it right now. Your hour special on Netflix debuts.
No, Comedy Central.
Oh, fuck you. You got it on Comedy Central. You son of a bitch. Mine went to Netflix a month ago.
Oh, no.
No, you know me. That's where I wanted
it.
I always wanted
it.
Did not.
Ours is going to Netflix next month.
Yeah, we sold it. Netflix is where it's at, bro.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next month.
Well, old people, some of the older people still listen to Comedy Central. Now, that's good. I'm not going to lie.
Streaming is
in. But I did leave a message on your machine specifically about how I'll put all the work your way. I'm going to play it right now. I left a message on your machine. I remember because I was getting you ready to come over to the show. I was giving you directions. Play the part where Steve's talking about, oh, no, that would be me.
You would have to do it.
Oh, it would have to be me. Forget it. I definitely don't want to do it. For some reason, I thought if I was leaving you a message, Steve, that you would be your responsibility to recreate it. But
right.
then
he left you a message, though.
Right.
Then boom.
Well, now I don't. This whole thing's fine, sir.
Okay.
The table is yours.
So we started Broken Lizard.
Right. We started a comedy group. We graduated. We moved to New York City.
Are you guys still friends? I know that's the worst question
still
in
friends.
The world. Good.
Still friends. But I mean, at that time, there's like 15 people. You know. Now
get
there's
rid
only,
of some of that shit.
Yeah. The attrition. You know?
A lot. Well, people left the group only because they hated us. Like they. We had one guy who said we gave him headaches before the live shows.
Many mom jokes. Yeah. He told us.
He said, "I can't take it. You give me headaches. I have to eat
this
bottles
is before
of
the movies. Right.
This is before the movies. Yeah.
I love stories like that. It's like the guy who quit the Bruce Springsteen band. You know, because he made him record Born to Run too many times.
Right.
And he quit before that album came out.
I thought you made. And I'm like, where are you performing at this time?
We were at like clubs, little clubs in New York City, like the Duplex, but like places where we could do sketch. Not even like stand up clubs. There was like there's a place called 55 Grove Street.
Comedy Central.
There's all kinds of stuff. Good Comedy Central. And so anyway, we're doing sketch shows, and so we started writing movies. We made a short film with an NYU student. And then we learned how to make some movies.
We did some interstitial stuff for Comedy Central.
We did, too. We shot some stuff for Comedy Central. Yeah.
Before
the movies, yeah.
Okay.
And then we made a movie called Puddle Cruiser. We put all of our money together, and we shot a movie for $250,000 at our college, at Colgate.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of the calling
this
card.
This is a long feature movie.
Yeah, feature film.
It wasn't a student film. Yeah. We had graduated. He had graduated.
Out.
Yeah.
3 years out.
We just went back to the campus to shoot it there.
If you guys were all in college together and then you graduated and you're doing sketches and you're shooting movies and you're still going to law school.
I went to law school.
I graduated from law school, and then like the next week, we started shooting Puddle Cruiser, our first movie.
Oh, okay.
Puddle Cruiser. You know, I told my stepbrother yesterday, because he knew you guys were going to be on the show, and I thought, why didn't anyone tell me to watch that movie? Like, they know I'm a fan of everything else, and I told my stepbrother, why would you never tell me that? He goes, I did. I'm like, well, you could remind me.
It's real.
I want to be wrong.
It's a charming movie, but we didn't know what the hell we were doing.
Well, it's rough.
So, yeah, we didn't know what we were doing.
Although interesting, talking about Netflix, when on 60 Minutes, when they interviewed the CEO of Netflix, Leslie Stahl said, "So if I pull any movie off of they were down in the warehouse. If I pull any movie off the shelf here, you would know what it is." And he said, "Yeah, probably." She said, "Okay, I'm just going to pull one at random." And he said, "Okay." And so she reached up, pulled something off the shelf. And she goes, "Puddle Cruiser." And he goes, oh, it's from the guys who, it was the first movie from the guys who made Super Troopers. But like,
oh, that's so cool.
Our phone started, it was just random, dumb luck. That's so cool. Yeah, on 60 Minutes.
We were blowing up.
In your face, Stahl.
Yeah.
I would thought he caught
Leslie.
She caught him.
I would love that. I get excited when I think David Spade might mention me on Letterman. He just references,
he
almost
hit me.
We were.
Okay, so what happened?
So we
finished
made
movie.
This movie, Puddle Cruiser.
What happened with that movie?
We entered into a bunch of film festivals, and we got into a bunch of festivals. We got into Sundance and South by Southwest and all these places, and we had a deal for it to be released, and then the deal fell through. The company went bankrupt, and so we kind of got screwed. And then,
Orion?
No, it was close, though. What was the name of that? Oasis? No.
No, Trimark.
Oh, it's Trimark. Okay. And so then after that, we used that movie as kind of a calling card. Like, a lot of people really liked it. We made a TV deal.
I would just say, actually, since I think it's a little relevant, Trimark actually chose to release the Carrot Top movie, Chairman of the Board, instead of Puddle Cruiser.
Before ours, yeah.
Oh, really?
The Carrot Top vehicle.
Yeah. And so, anyway, ultimately, we went around and we wrote that movie and we brought it around to all, and we were with every, like, it was developed everywhere. It was like, we were with the Farrelly brothers for a while. We were with the Zucker brothers for a while. We were with all kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
And then ultimately everything fell through. And this one guy was sitting out there that we knew who was a former banker in New York City.
How did you know this guy?
He was the father of a girl we went to Colgate with.
Mm-hmm.
And he had just retired from banking.
Mm-hmm.
And he had money lying around.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I want to be a movie producer.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to his daughter, do you know any guys?
He sounded like one
he
already.
Did. He did. And he said, do you know any guys who do this? And his daughter said, I know
he
these
literally
guys.
Just said to his daughter.
Yeah. Play the crackling music and say that.
I want to be a movie producer.
There, it sounded better.
Good.
Say it one more time.
I want to be a movie producer.
What if I was directing you and I said, listen, really, like a parody of old
really
style.
Sell it?
Yeah, really.
Say, fella, I want to be a movie producer.
That's good.
That's good.
That was really good.
That was good. That was good.
Yeah, that was really strong.
You know, you take no bullshit.
That, like, the accent.
Thank you.
I think you could take, like, I'm being actually serious. You could take, you know, like, I can't take direction at all, okay. But you could tell you could.
Thank you.
Me, I just go, I'm going to repeat it the same exact way. Do you want me to do it again?
Well, I was on the spot.
You know what I mean? Like, on an audition, even when they're being nice, I feel horrible. When they're actually, I've never had that many bad experiences. A lot of times they're very kind. They're like, give you really nice direction, but that was good. And I at one point, I just started going, I really don't mean, I'm probably just going to do it the same exact way. So I don't, I'm embarrassed to give it another shot. Okay, go. That's the best interview skills. I tell a story. There's nothing. Go.
Go. Boom. Go. Go.
So he says to his daughter.
So he says to his daughter, I want to know about how to make movies.
Mm-hmm.
And so she introduced him to us and our kind of people that we knew. And he said, I want to see what a movie script looks like.
Wait, has he seen Puddle
Cruiser? He saw Puddle Cruiser, yep. Because we shot it at Colgate's, where his daughter went, mm-hmm. his son went there. You know, he knew that world, mm-hmm. right?
But he walked out of our office with the videotape of Puddle Cruiser and the script for Super Troopers under his arm to see what a film looked like and to read a script, to see what a script looked like.
Yeah. He's okay.
Yeah, so how old the guy was he at the time? I'm trying to
picture. He was probably like late 50s.
White hair.
60s.
White hair.
Early
60s. So this is adventurous for him. It's,
Well, he made his money, and now he's
still around?
Still around. Yeah. Still around. He funded our another movie of ours too, a movie we made recently called Slam and Salmon.
So this guy
reads a script. Yeah,
you don't talk numbers. You don't talk anything.
Nothing. He just wants to know about how to make independent films.
He got the humor immediately because
very funny. He does stand up comedy. This guy.
No way.
Yeah. That was another thing that he wanted to do for fun.
I have like an affection for him, and I don't even know the guy.
He's the most wonderful guy in the world.
Robert Klein.
He is Robert Klein.
Okay, right. So he leaves,
and so he reads a script and he's like,
wait, how long between? He leaves. You give him all your stuff.
Yeah,
and at that
very
time,
quickly.
At that time, you think anything of it? You think this could
be
a real thing?
No, because we have all this other stuff going on. We've got,
in Hollywood.
Like,
we're like,
yeah, we're like George Clooney is a producer on it, mm-hmm. and Danny DeVito is a producer on it, and all these guys are different producers. Yeah,
John Goodman was attached to play the police chief at one point,
which is the Brian Cox part, right?
The Brian Cox part. So all these things are going. We're like, yeah, we're going to make a great movie, and then it all falls through,
mm-hmm.
and then this guy's sitting there, and he's like. I really want to make a comedy movie. And we said, okay. And he said, what are you doing with this script that I read? And we said, well, we're trying to make it. And he goes, well, I want to pay for this script. I want to make
now,
this
had
script.
You sold the script already?
We did. We sold it to Miramax. We developed it with Harvey Weinstein for a while. And then he punted it. And then he sent it over to this guy, Bob Simons, who made all the Sandler movies. He made, like, Waterboy. Then he punted it. And then we went to the Farrelly Brothers, the Zucker Brothers.
So no one owned it at
the
time.
Well, no. And then George Clooney's personal assistant, this girl named Amy Cohen, who's actually an associate producer on the movie, brought it to George because she wanted to become a producer. And he said, if you can find something for under $5 million that I can produce, we'll do it for you. And she said, this is the one that I want to do. And so he...
And you're talking about...
Super Troopers.
Right, Super Troopers.
And so George Clooney was our executive producer, and he got John Goodman attached. And this is actually a difficult period of time to sort of explain, except there was another investor who did come on, and he said he had the money. He wrote a letter of intent. And so that's how we got John Goodman to act in the movie. And then we actually had this – it was the strangest thing. We me and the girl, Amy Cohen, were at the Sky Bar. And we saw this producer who lived in New York. We saw him at this place, and what we found out was that he was in town now shopping a John Goodman vehicle and looking for the money for the movie. He actually didn't have the movie. And so it just...
He attached literally happened to your movie.
24 hours later, he was out in California, and we bumped into him. Like,
and he promised to pay John Goodman this money, and he didn't have the money, you know? So,
oh, wow.
So anyway, the thing all fell apart.
Great. That's a great story right there.
Yeah. Okay. Totally fell apart.
Yeah.
And then the last person sitting there is this guy. He's like, I will still make this movie. Yeah.
By the way, it's a great story for you now.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
For us then, it sucked.
Right. We had
Wait. So during this time when you had Clooney and you had all these people, this guy said, I'll do it. And you were like, no, thank you. We got it.
Yeah. We're exploring this. And, you know, maybe it was something we can work out.
How long a period of time goes? I'm sorry. Between
Guys, hold on. Gary, I don't mean to cut you off. I need to do a station identification here.
The Todd Glass Show. Voted number one by the Podcasters Association of America.
Right, go ahead. Go,
you finished the script, and how long did
this
it take?
Years.
God, it's heartbreaking.
I'll just let you know this. Like, between
the
Puddle
Sky
Cruiser,
Bar.
Between Puddle Cruiser and
which
the time
we shot
Super...
Which is depressing to begin with. I find that place incredibly depressing because everybody's beautiful.
But we were still living in New York, so it was like, whoa. You know,
Between
Puddle Cruiser and Super Cruiser was 5 years. So, like, really, in this period of time, like, we were pretty always at the end of our rope. You know, and like...
Yeah, we all still had day jobs. We all had that kind of thing.
And yeah, and so this was like, you know, when we got John Goodman and got George Clooney and everything was hot...
Was Clooney going to be in it ever?
No, and that's what all the studios asked us when we went around to give them the movie. Yeah. But so this thing fell apart and delayed us for another year. Yeah. And that was a pretty depressing period of time.
Yeah.
But then, so Pete Langella comes along.
Yeah, and then ultimately he said, I will pay for it. And we said, well, we don't have anything else. I'm in. I'm doing it. Let's do it.
He said, I'll pay for everything myself.
Yeah. Yep. And he put up $1.2
million. Now, where did you come up with that
did
number?
Did you get a little on the side, you know, for sure?
No, he did.
Did you get that number, 1.2?
It was just, you know, we put together the lowest budget that we could possibly shoot and have a realistic-looking movie. And we had a guy who was our finance guy, our producer, our budget guy. He did Puddle Cruiser. And so this is the budget he put together and said, this is what we can do it for. And so the guy wrote the check.
He just wrote you a check for $1.2 million?
Yeah, basically.
Wait.
Well, it comes in installments. It comes in installments. Yeah. But, like, you know, it's the strange thing about the movie business is this is how it works. You'll hit the pavement for 2 years, getting closer and closer and closer and waiting for people to make their decision. And then all of a sudden you hear about some Yahoo, which Pete Langella is not. But, like, somebody just comes in, and it's like 24 hours later, you get the news. Somebody leaves it on your voicemail, like, oh, he greenlit the movie. Like, you've got this green light.
But the difference between Pete and these other people were when he said, I'm going to write the check, he wrote that check. Yeah. Like, in this business, it's always like, I'm going to pay you, I'm going to do this, and it never happens.
How much
this
was guy the wrote actual the check. First check he wrote you for?
I don't know. It's probably like $400,000.
Oh. $400,000. Like, you remember, that was probably the biggest check you've ever held in your hand up until.
Well, I mean, it was like you had to immediately put it in the bank so you could pay all these people who were already working. Yeah. You know?
I've held a $25 million check.
You have?
Yeah.
What was that from?
A friend of mine, his grandmother founded two companies. She founded United Fruit. And she founded Spalding Sports. So
oh my God!
United Fruit is like Tropicana and Chiquita Banana. Anyway, when she passed away, he and his brother and their three cousins split a shitload of money and property. But this was an installment, and so I was at his house. I was on Norco playing video games, playing PlayStation, and the game kept freezing. Uh-huh. And finally he was like, fuck it. It's the whole system. Let's just go buy a new, I'm going to go buy a new PlayStation. I was like, now that's a little rash, don't you think? And he said, Steve, who do you know who got one of these today? And he went to his desk and came back and handed me a check for $25 million. And it was just a little installment of his inheritance.
Wow.
Damn, that guy should have paid for the movie.
Okay, so
that's all you think of.
I know. That's
come on, he's right on his ball.
How does it benefit me?
By the way, Chris is only going to, he's got his finger steady there. He's ready.
So the guy gives you a check.
Yeah.
And he says, go do it.
Yeah.
And you hit the ground running.
Yeah, and he doesn't know how to make it.
Who directed it?
Jay Chandrasek, one of our guys. Okay, so yeah. We were a whole entity, so mm-hmm. we produced it, wrote it, directed it, acted in it.
Did you write it on spec and then brought it to Harvey, or did he develop it?
Yeah, well, we started writing it first, and then ultimately we sold it to him. And I think we already had some drafts, but we ultimately wrote like a bunch of drafts with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just like, you know, I'm probably not going to make this in the near future. If you want to bring it somewhere else, go ahead.
And he just let you go?
Yeah.
Well, I think it was like, I don't remember what it was. We got paid some small amount of money, like $25,000 or something. Yeah. Like mm-hmm. Pay him back. Somebody had to pay him back $25,000.
Oh, you did.
Yeah, he wasn't seeing it. It wasn't a big deal. And it was mm-hmm. funny because, like, it's this is no knock on Miramax, but, like, the mm-hmm. development process, there was a point in time with the development people there where they, you know, like we wrote the opening scene of that movie with sort of in the frame of mind that, like, this is the only time you'll get to experience what it's like to be pulled over by these guys, because it's the only time you won't know that they are the mm-hmm. heroes,
like,
of the,
you know,
movie.
It starts in the car with those guys mm-hmm. who are stoned in the car. Right, the idea right. start there.
Yeah, because mm-hmm. that was where the idea from the movie came yeah. from. It's like the terror you, when you're stoned in a car, the terror you feel
that
when
would
you
just
are pulled
rip
over.
Me yeah. fucking
that's
shreds.
Like really. That's when you conceded the idea. You remember thinking, yes. thinking
well,
about
that. Well, that was it. And then what they're saying, Miramax came in, or whoever was the development person, said, you know, these kids aren't the characters of the movie,
mm-hmm.
and so it wouldn't make sense to start the movie with. As them, yeah. because mm-hmm. you don't get it.
They said, we don't want to confuse. Yeah, we don't want to mm-hmm. confuse right. the audience. As to, and so, well, actually,
we're like, no. That's the whole point. The whole point is you're stoned in a car,
mm-hmm.
and you get pulled over by the car.
And some guy looks in and says, you know, do you know how fast you were going? Like mm-hmm. that's you have to experience it just once. It's the only
right.
time you get to do it.
Right.
But so I remember the idea that they came to us. They came back to us with was, why don't we see each of the Super Troopers as little kids in kindergarten, like playing with each other. And that's how we'll get to know their personalities.
No, really?
Yeah.
That's almost sad. Yeah. That's what somebody...
That was the Flintstones kids. It was a short-lived Saturday morning cartoon where they showed... Betty and
is that a real
Muppet
thing?
Babies.
Yeah,
Muppet Babies.
I remember that. It was very similar. It was very.
It's the same person. They got fired off that movie.
Muppet Babies. Yes. Yeah. Also. Yeah.
Hold on. Let me.
They pitch that everywhere they go. What if we see them as kids?
Todd, take control. Take yep. control.
I like
okay,
that.
Okay, so hold on. I'm fascinated by this. So the guy gives you a check. You start shooting.
We start shooting, yeah.
You go through casting. You get Brian Cox.
Yeah, so we get word from Brian Cox's agent or whatever that he read the script and he wants to make it. And we're like, oh, what? And it's because at that time...
he's so much better than John Goodman would have
well,
been,
but also he's like a...
so perfect.
He was amazing.
Actor.
He was amazing. He was
yeah.
amazing.
You know so what I mean? Perfect. Like, he was a guy, he's like, you know... he's like a Shakespearean actor, you know. Mm-hmm. And you're like, what does Brian Cox want to do with us?
Uh-huh.
And it turns out, like, the guy.
By the way, can I tell you the truth? I got fucking scared shitless that I don't remember John Goodman being in the movie before when you were talking to me. And I thought, if all I have to do is if he was in that movie, it didn't mean I didn't love the movie. It
right.
just meant whatever the reason I spaced. But I couldn't admit it to you guys because I thought, they'll be like, does he fucking love the movie? He doesn't remember John Goodman's in it. Now I just realized John Goodman isn't in it.
No. Didn't make it in there. Okay. We couldn't pay him. So that's
all
that
time I was living with that.
I'm sorry.
Kevin, you
I'm
don't
sorry.
Care.
I do. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Is that why? Because you got quiet for a little while there.
Well, I went inward for 10
nervous.
Minutes going, was fucking John Goodman in that movie?
No,
I can't ask.
No.
Okay.
Brian Cox.
But listen, you know, Todd, this is a safe. It's
I
a safe.
Know. I
you
should have been comfortable.
We're all friends.
You know what?
Here.
I still want to be respected. It's like if someone said they loved something I did and they didn't remember somebody who was in the movie, I'd be like, well, that was a fucking compliment flushed down the goddamn toilet. The guy doesn't fucking. You'd
oh,
be,
he must have really liked that movie.
You guys wouldn't go out front and sit in front of the car a little while? Nice yeah. guy, but how do you yeah. fucking not remember John Goodman's in the goddamn
yeah.
movie?
Yeah, he doesn't know. He's never seen the movie.
Yeah, never. These guys are all the same. They're all morning guys, even if they're at night.
he wasn't stoned either. Yeah. Let me tell you, I know stoned, and that wasn't stoned.
He's got morning radio in his bones.
I know he's faking it. Yeah, yeah. I can tell a faker.
Yeah. In fact, I never even saw his promo at the improv. I was just fucking saying
Jesus.
That.
I wanted to tell him that. Oh, was that you in the promo? I'm sorry. I thought it was somebody else.
Yeah,
that
I remember Brewer. I remember Brewer, but then Kevin said, no, he's... Okay, yeah. Now I got it. All right.
I get it. I get it loud and clear.
No.
All right, so...
Okay, so
Brian Cox...
So, back to Daniel.
Apparently a huge Jerry Lewis fan.
He is?
Apparently.
Okay.
This is what we were told.
Uh-huh.
And so he loves, like, you know, kind of slapsticky comedy mm-hmm. type stuff, and no one ever asked him to do it. No one would ever ask him to come do those movies. And so he was like, I would really love to do this movie. And so he...
Did you think of
on.
Him, or was that an agent or a producer?
You
someone...
wouldn't think of him. I mean, there are like people who are comic kind of like actors that you think of, but you won't mm-hmm. think of you wouldn't think of somebody like.
He's done
Brian
a bunch
Cox.
Of comedy since
yeah,
then.
But then he has. Yeah.
You cool. gave Brian Cox a well, comedy no, career,
but that was what it was. Yeah. That was what it was. His agent approached us and said, Brian, you know, because he was the original Hannibal Lecter in Manhunter.
Yeah,
yes.
was
yeah.
Oh yes. yeah. yeah, yeah. In the 80s.
Don't get him started on that, Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah,
bastard.
Although for the sequel for Super Troopers, we have discussed putting Anthony Hopkins as Chief O'Hagan just for the little joke.
It would drive Cox over the edge.
Yeah, he would. That'd be it. Yeah. No, but his
killed,
agent,
you killed Cox.
Yeah, but his agent approached us and said Brian really wants to, you know, get back into. He wants to do a comedy in a big way. And he really wants to do this movie. And, you know, it's... Look, I mean, honestly, from, you know, you have an investor, and the independent film world changed a lot when we were between Puddle Cruiser and Super Troopers, where you had to start getting name actors in the independent film. This doesn't seem so novel now with every independent film having giant movie stars, mm-hmm. but back then it was just happening.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we made an offer to Paul Newman. You know, like that.
You did. For the,
oh, we yeah. did.
That's
we
great.
Did.
And Bill Murray. Bill Murray.
And Bill Murray. Yeah. And by the way, those guys never even got back to us.
Yeah.
That's Murray.
So
yeah. I've been waiting for a callback for 3 weeks. Supposed to have lunch together a week ago.
Yeah.
What about Daniel?
So
who else did you approach?
That's a good question.
I get into it. So
for that part,
yeah.
I think that, like we Harrison Ford was on our list.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, it's ridiculous.
No, and the funny thing is, I worked with Sam Elliott.
Oh right.
And
we tried to get Sam Elliott.
And
James.
Adobian.
The guy from Babe.
He asked me to throw his name in.
The guy from Babe, the tall guy.
Brebhorn.
No, wait.
No.
James, no.
He's in
James
America.
Earl. Cromwell.
James Earl yeah. Jones.
Brebhorn.
No. I was working with
James Cromwell.
Sally Jesse Raphael.
No.
I'm the worst guesser in the world.
No.
Although she would be good.
Even after the answer's in.
Yeah.
James Cromwell, sure. Okay, so you got Brian Cox.
Yes, yeah, so we get Cox
doing it.
And
Bill Bixby.
It all came together. Bill Bixby.
Jim Gaffigan was in that movie.
Gaffigan?
Friend of the show.
Yes. So Gaffigan.
Who's a guy who, he actually, we had him come to our, we did another movie called Slam and Salmon, and he came to be in it.
Mm.
And he...
Go on.
He said the reason I came is because Super Troopers, he said he thinks Super Troopers is responsible for the success of his stand-up career.
Really?
Oh yeah. And we said, why is that? And he said, because, and this is what we were talking about earlier, college kids love that movie. I started booking colleges. And it was based on the Super Troopers thing. And then from there, my stand-up took off.
Yes, but there's another story behind the Jim Gaffigan in our movie, which is that which Kevin doesn't want you to hear, which is that you know, when Kevin would go out on
he steals deli meat from the craft services table.
Close. That was a great one.
That was
perfect, Chris.
It's funny if you just keep doing it.
Repetition.
He goes, I know. We're not there yet, but we'll get there.
So Gaffigan, so Kevin, you know, this is the mid-90s. Kevin would go out on these commercial auditions, and I guess he and Jim Gaffigan were considered to be in the same food group as each other. So they constantly were bumping into each other at commercial auditions. And Gaffigan was continually nailing these and booking the gigs, like a Rolling Rock. He got it.
He was the spokesman for all, like Saturn, yeah. Rolling Rock.
Yes.
And Heffernan would come in. Heffernan would come back and be like, that fucking guy, that albino guy, God, fuck that guy. I see that guy at every goddamn audition.
Because nobody knows who he is at this point. You know, nobody knows who Jim Gaffigan is at this point.
Yeah, and so then Gaffigan, first of all, he tries to block the audition of Gaffigan. Gaffigan's supposed to audition for the movie. He's like, I don't want, we're like, come on, we got to see everybody.
Oh, that's a great story.
Gaffigan comes in, nails it, fucking nails it in front of Heffernan, who's like the most hostile, you know, filmmaker for an actor to audition in front of for Jim Gaffigan. He fucking crushes it afterwards. We're like, God, that guy was awesome. And Heffernan, he pulls out. You always have like one veto card. Like, no, not that guy. That guy is not in this fucking movie. He pulled it out. And we overrode that thing.
Wow. which required 2/3 of Congress to override a veto.
That's exactly. Yeah. But we had the quorum, and then it was great because on set that day, Gaffigan was hanging out. You know, he's in the car, and you know, like I'm in the scene with him, also with Paul Soder, one of the other guys in the group. And all of us, we were over by Gaffigan. He's talking dirty, which we didn't expect. And he's like telling jokes. And we're like, ah, fucking Jim, you're the fucking best. and Kevin is about 50 yards down the road at the craft service table, like angrily eating, like jealously watching the fucking
the
new relationship forming between us and Jim Gaffigan.
And then we told him the whole story. He told him my backstory. He's like, I don't want to cast you because of nah. Because all these commercial things, and he looked at me and he goes, "Oh, that's funny. I don't even remember you." And I was like, "I remember you, Jim."
Yeah. I don't like Jim Gaffigan now. Worse. Fuck him.
Okay, so you're shooting the movie. Everything's going great, right? The guy's happy. You're on budget.
Yep.
Well, on time.
Although our producer cried on like the first or second day.
Why?
Of the shoot, because we opted to shoot the highway scenes first, and it was summertime, blistering heat, and craft service. Like, you know, the first few days of a film, it's like you just got to get the kinks out. Well, the kinks were in craft service, and there were no beverages, and so there was a mutiny going on.
About beverages?
Yeah, remember? It's like there were no.
I remember that.
There weren't enough sodas, but like, why did Rich cry on the?
I wasn't there when he cried.
Thirsty.
Well, Gaffigan was fucking dick.
Gaffigan was there. Gaffigan was there.
It must have been the Gaffigan day. Okay. Yeah.
And at what point did you guys know? You shot it, you cut it,
We finished it, and then we started editing, and then we were trying to hit the deadline for Sundance. We didn't have a distributor.
And
by the way, just so the listeners know that I'm sort of still commanding this interview, every time Daniel's done a question, I think, I know the next question I want to ask, and then he asks
then
it,
he
so I'm just
it.
Letting him go.
That's good. No, I mean, that's good.
But it is true. I go,
delegation.
I got to ask that, and then he asks it. I go, well, what am I going to interrupt for?
I used now to that love we know the that, Tonight I'm not gonna... shows that, just that Ed McMahon ran.
What?
When Ed McMahon would run the Tonight Show, I used to love that. When he would ask all the guest questions, those were my favorite Tonight Shows.
Sometimes he'd look at Johnny's
eyes. Where Carson delegated.
But that was the thing, that when that was happening, I was always watching Johnny. Because I wanted to see how jealous Johnny was getting, and he was fucking hating at that point in time.
Yes, when McMahon would,
How much more patience do you have before you put a fucking stop to this.
When that, as a young kid, I didn't realize that, but now looking, not that I watched it, I was super young, but even now.
Right, of course.
We'd watch that.
I mean,
that.
With Conan and Andy Richter, that's what you're talking about.
or anybody like that. We watched old Tonight shows, and we're like, now we're like, oh, I wonder if Johnny because he was like, wah, 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 wah. Wonder what made him decide to do
that. I heard
a
story that Letterman used to talk to Paul Schaefer at the top of every show. And then after a while, Paul would like leave him with nothing. He would like throw a bomb in his lap, and then he wouldn't pay it off. So he'd be like, "Hey, how was your weekend? Oh, I had a crazy weekend. Oh my god, you're not gonna believe it." And then let him be like, "Yeah, anything?" And then Paul wouldn't. So now he stopped talking to him for like prolonged periods of time.
That happened on the Magic Johnson show where Craig Shoemaker. Shoemaker would take over.
So hold on.
Hold on. Let's wrap this up.
Yeah,
so,
and then take a break.
So you're
and then
cutting
you guys,
it.
Okay, so we're editing it.
You're editing it for you're cutting it for Sundance.
Yep.
You don't know what you're going to do with this.
And we're racing the clock, and we're editing it right up to the end. And
were you happy with like when you were done shooting? Did you guys have a feeling of like, okay, we pulled it off. This is good.
Yeah, I mean, it was impressive that you could pull it off, and I think. We had mixed feelings. Like some people were very happy. Like,
you've seen some dailies.
Like Lemmy, whenever Lemmy watches something, he always feels terrible.
You never know. It's an impossible thing to watch a rough cut of a movie without the sound mix. There's fat all over it. Yeah, that you're gonna cut out.
Right.
You know, it's like if you have a scene with three laughs in it, and then there's a fourth, like, or two bombs in the middle of it, the scene's gonna suck. You just cut out the two bombs, and then you get a scene with three laughs, and people are like, "Oh, they're fucking great." These.
But
guys.
I knew that. He didn't know that. See?
Okay,
so I was confident. I felt good.
So you're cutting the movie.
So we're cutting. We finish the movie, and literally, me and Jay Chandrasekhar, who directed it, and we were editing it, and we took the film from the lab and got on a plane and went to Sundance.
Mm-hmm.
And then we put it up the first time in front of an audience at the midnight screening at
Sundance.
Wait,
you had submitted it already and it's been...
You submit like on tape, like a rough cut, like mm-hmm. Like before the film's actually done.
And they accepted it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And so then, you know, that's like in November, and then January is the festival, mm-hmm. so you have to race,
and also
it.
Also keep in mind that, you know, Puddle Cruiser had been at Sundance 5 years earlier, and we did not sell it. And so we were fucking terrified.
Yeah.
We were absolutely terrified, because so this was it
we
for
We brought it to that thing, and luckily, the first screening was like a Saturday night at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone was like stoned and wasted and whatever, sorry. And and ultimately, the movie opened up, and that opening scene, the stoner scene, killed.
Uh-huh.
And we knew that we were in great shape.
You exhaled.
People were going crazy for like, an open scene, uh-huh. and like applaud when the title comes up, and you're like, "Oh shit, we're in good shape." And then right after that, we got like a couple offers for
right after that.
Yeah,
wow. Right after that screening that night.
Yeah, we were the first movie to sell at Sundance that year.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Could you sleep that night? Were you so excited?
Well, you never knew it was because our first movie we had all these things like it, you know. Pump fakes, and it was happening. It wasn't happening. So, like, until, like...
Pump fakes, eh?
Yeah.
Head fake followed by a jab step and then a spin move?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah,
sure. I love a good basketball reference. That was beautiful. Yeah. Pump fake by Harvey Weinstein.
Yeah. It wasn't just him. It was a bunch of people.
Wait, so can I... And I don't know. Maybe this is in bed taste ass. So, the guy put up 1.2?
Yeah.
For the movie, what did you sell it for?
Oh, that's in such
we
bad
sold
taste.
Sold it for three.
That's so gross.
3.25.
No, it's public. Yeah.
Three and a quarter.
Yeah.
He made his money back and then some on that day.
On that day.
And what year is this?
This is 2001.
2000.
Yeah, 2001.
2001, and then we reshot the ending that summer, and it was released 2002.
Wow.
And when it came out, how did it do at the box office?
It was okay. It did all right. 18, it wasn't great. I mean, 18. It wasn't gangbusters or anything.
Yeah, I get to ask the last question.
But then on video...
It was a slow burn.
You motherfucker!
No, you can ask one after that.
That was it.
Whenever he asked, then you ask the last one.
That's my question! Well, it seems like, you know, like, I'm always afraid to ask if they've been asked a million times. But, like, if you don't know, you don't know it. But, like, that's one of the ones I was curious about. Like, when you knew, like... You have to put a little modesty aside to ask this question. But, like, when you guys knew, oh, no, like this... You know, it's going to be around for a long time.
Not for a few years.
It was a while. It took a while because it was when it got the DVD. That's when it started.
Is there any, like, even month where you sort of started to smell it? Like, where you go, is this like...
It's like when we would, like, a couple years later, after it had been out on DVD, probably for a year at least, you'd be walking down the street and one person would say something like, you know, hey, you chicken fucker.
Right.
You know, or something like that. Or, like, I remember one time we were walking down the street together, the five of us. And we were all in New York, and a dude came running out of a bar, and he's like, I'm the bartender. You guys are the Super Troopers, right? And we're like, yeah. And he's like, drinks are on me. Come on in here.
Wow.
And it's like, it just slowly started to happen like that. And then you find the pockets, like the military and the police, obviously, that you're... Yeah. That you're
TSA, love us.
Strippers.
Really? Is that
strippers?
True?
Yeah. I don't know why.
When I had a college student and his girlfriend, I had a snowstorm, I think it was, and I had to stay over, and they asked me if I wanted to go back to their apartment. You know, they had not a dorm, but an apartment and watch it. And literally like a year ago, why is that weird? Is that?
You just gave him the signal.
What
signal?
You giving
Chris the signal over here.
Blah, blah, blah. Go play it. I'll talk through it. Play blah, blah, blah. I'll talk through it.
Background music for the story.
Go play it. I'll still talk through it.
Blah, 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 blah.
So, hold on. I learned to talk through it. Okay, so they invited me back to their apartment.
That's a good song.
I can't talk through it. They usually play it when I talk about hotel blankets being disgusting. All right. I've talked about that a lot. So my mom had cancer, and I didn't know what to do. So, yeah, I make you look bad. That's the way
you get. Oh, Chris.
You know, try to play it through that. So, anyway, we had to look into my mom's eyes, and it's just sad to see you realize I'm, you know, my father had passed away a year ago, and now my mom is gone. So, we're interrupting this thing, the loser trumpet thing. Where the guy that we used to have this bit where we go, the guy hangs out by the emergency ward, and people say, and he has a trumpet. He's like a mean-spirited dick. And people go, hey, you're sorry to tell you this, but your son has passed away. And they go, sir, please get out of the emergency ward. That's obnoxious. That's obnoxious.
He works for tips?
Yeah. Yes. No, I don't know. But no one's going to tip him because they're mad at him. Sorry, you've lost the vision in both of your eyes. All righty. So
we were able to save the baby, but unfortunately, your wife has passed.
By the way, wouldn't that be funny to actually do that?
No.
So that person called me up. Like, I mean, it might have been like 6-7 years later after I saw the movie for the first time. And I remembered because that was the person that introduced me. They don't know that I went on to like watch that movie. And, you know, they knew that night I liked it. He's like, you probably won't remember me, but me. I'm like, yeah, I fucking remember. And they were like, how the fuck did you remember that? I go, well, because you showed me Super Troopers. He goes, you remember that? I'm like, yeah, I remember that. So that's how it all started. Let's do this. You guys all right for a little bit more?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Let's take a – we're going to come back and reminisce.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yeah,
you have the Paul Anka music? Do you remember? Yeah. Do you remember the time?
The time of
let's
your
take a real
life.
Break. And then, no, I do want to take a real break. But here's two things we could do as we – by the way, thank you for answering – I love knowing all that stuff. You know, and sometimes you're afraid to ask it because you think, oh, they've talked about it before. But you're like, our audience might not have heard it. I've never heard it. Sure. So thank you.
You should ask us something that you've always wanted to ask any guest that you've had on your show, but I've always been too afraid to ask.
We did. How did you get made Super Troopers made?
I said, don't ask them that.
They're terrified to ask that. We thought like wouldn't it be funny if we were like, hey guys, you know, we don't want to do what every radio, you know, show does. We prepared specific questions for you. What's acting like?
Yeah. Right into the typical.
Todd, you do a Jim Gaffigan impression. Would it be funny if Kevin kept stopping you?
I don't
just
really
get
do an impersonation.
You don't?
You don't do that. You don't do that whisper voice, and then Kevin could say, "Thank you." We've seen enough.
Oh wait, maybe pretend I'm auditioning for you.
Oh
Jim Gaffigan. Okay. Are you guys insinuating that? Are you saying?
Shut up, Gaffigan.
There we go. All
right. So here's what we're gonna do. We're going to take a real break because I'm going to get a beer. That thing's been looking really good. Oh, I know what we can do before we take a break.
Okay.
We'll do three things. One,
let's do four.
One you'll find out in about in a minute.
Five.
Two, we're going to come back. I'm going to play you this Neil Diamond song and see between us if we can figure it out. It's the song that they say is really him that he wrote it, but it's about pot. But I can't figure it out. I'm being totally honest.
Okay.
We'll listen to that. We'll figure it out.
What is the name of the song? Can you tell me?
It's about pot. But I'm like, smoker. It just doesn't make sense. I heard it three days ago.
I've never heard such a Neil Diamond song.
You'll hear it when we come back. Okay. And we'll stop it. I want to figure it out. Someone said it's definitely a real song. He wrote it. But, well, we'll play it. And then.
Okay. Oh, wait. Is it the, what's that, like the food song? Like, I think I know this song.
I don't want, play.
Well, look.
No. I know radio. Watch
teaser.
This. Play
teaser.
5 seconds of it.
La, 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 hot.
There you go. Maybe 3 seconds.
He definitely said
and there
pot.
Was something else I wanted to do with the. Oh, reminisce.
We're going
to
reminisce.
We're going to
reminisce. We'll just
but
come
what
back.
There's three things.
We were going to sing some songs.
This is the third thing. This is the first thing. The other two are after we take a break. This will be before we take a break.
Okay.
You guys are, because I don't want to forget to do it. I could always do it on the opening of the show, but I think it's good now. You guys are touring around.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's how we know each other, because we have shared a publicist.
That's right.
And so where is the, how's that, where are you touring, and do you have any, we can plug your dates on the website, but how's it going?
It's been great. We're kind of wrapping up the year. We have one more weekend. We'll be in San Diego this weekend.
December 6th, 7th, and 8th at the American Comedy Company.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been going around a lot this year. It's been pretty fun.
That's a good answer.
And to mostly comedy clubs or
theaters,
More comedy clubs, mostly comedy clubs. We kind of wanted to do that circuit.
And will
We've
you
never
do
done
like
before, you know?
Will you do like a 3 nights at a comedy club?
Yeah, Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Isn't that enjoyable sometimes?
Yeah, I mean we have a great time at it. It seems to be a great audience for us. I mean,
the only time it's hard is a couple of times we've had to do 3 shows in one night, which is brutal.
Saturday, you know, you can say no to that.
Well, you know,
I don't, by the way, either. So I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of guys. The only reason I say that, I told that to somebody once, and they went, "Can you?" I'm like, "Yeah, I mean, you'll make a little more money, but if you wanted to say no, they'd get a third act."
Although I think you know what we have discovered. We were talking about this weekend because we did a college show Thursday and Friday this past weekend, and then that was it. The show would be over, and we'd go home, and we realized that it's the meet and greet afterwards, because we always do a meet and greet at the club shows or the theater shows. And that is actually
exhausting.
What takes it out of you.
Yeah,
that's what takes it out of you.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I never thought of that.
The show itself.
Well, you never had to do one, Daniel.
It is. Speaking of
well
Jim Gaffigan,
Gary.
He did a meet and greet to literally.
Yeah,
like,
he does everyone.
Just, He stopped about a year ago, but he did it. You know, I liked his adage on it. It was like, and I hope I do the same thing when I'm at the point where you know. He goes, I'm just going to do it till I can't. He goes, you know, I did this for a long time, and I'm packing these places, and I'm appreciative, and I'm just going to do it till I can't, which I thought was
that's
you know,
really good. I admire that.
But is there a time where he couldn't? Is that what you're saying?
Eventually, our manager said, you know, you can't. It's like, because he's out there for 2 hours in between shows.
Yeah, especially like 1,000 people in a theater.
Right,
yeah,
echoing exactly what you just said. Like, that was the most exhausting part.
Well, because 50 people.
I can imagine.
Daniel says, I'm not going to do it until I can.
All right, so
that's
let's
his adage.
Come on.
So sorry.
All right, let's, what are
he
we
doesn't
gonna,
deserve this.
What I are we going to go?
You're a great guy. That. You're a terrific kid. You're a good kid.
All right. I love that. And as long as you know, refer to me as kid.
Yes.
Let's
as long as you wear a baseball hat, you'll be a kid.
I know. I look like a kid with this.
Let's
hat
play. Which band sent me this song?
Some band called Into Arcadia.
Into Arcadia. I like this song. Why don't we play it? We can't play the whole thing, but we can.
And then what do we
play
talk
it
about?
A
can we talk about it?
And we can talk about can it when we come back.
It sounds like Van Halen's "Everybody Wants Some."
Yes.
I go out old school. You're listening to the Todd Glass Show, and we'll be right back right after this.
The only time he ever got upset was...
I think he didn't know what he was... There were times where he was...
Method.
Was not sure about what he got himself into.
Like when we were smoking pot on set.
Yeah.
There was one night, like, it was that night. He's in the backseat of the car.
This
is true.
Yeah.
We're shooting the death ride scene, and, like, it's like 4 a.m. He's an older British man. He's just done the whole running around thing. He's got his head on the glass of the window. And we're all stoned in this police car, jammed into the back seat with him, like, fucking dicking around.
By the way, do you care if this is recorded?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. Right.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so recording? I love this. Yeah. But I would never play anything.
Oh, wait. We're on right now? Because if we were on, I would have done even a better job.
Yeah. Come on, Lemmy.
Because I missed half of it. Because
When you were talking about being in the car smoking.
Yeah, cars.
You also just got done giving him great accolade on.
No, he's fantastic.
Being fantastic.
He's fantastic.
Yeah. And then we asked, go ahead.
Well, so now we're stoned in the backseat of this car. We're just wired. It's 4 a.m. He's exhausted. He's got his head up on the glass.
Cox, Brian Cox.
And we're being such stone dicks. You know, like just.
How old are you all at this point?
29 or 30.
Okay. So, like, basically 18 for comic years.
Yeah. Oh, well, back then I was, my IMDb had me as 5 years younger, so I was 25 at the time.
wait, you can do that?
Well, God. You can't, though. They fucking busted me. I'm so pissed off.
I know. You know what? Because if they would just shut the fuck up, that's how you felt. So why do they have to fuck it up?
Well, here's the other thing.
Is that to be doing that 20 fucking 5 years old and there you are. Fucking great. Hey, it's great at 32, but 25 even better.
25. No, here's the thing. I went out with a girl. I went out with a girl who I was not married to. This girl who was in a movie called Open Water. She and I dated, okay? I was never married to her, but it says we were married on IMDb, okay?
Wait, is that the shark movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I like that movie. Yeah.
So it's a good movie. So those fuckers, IMDb, came after me about my age, about my 5 years. They're like, we only report the truth.
Oh, God.
And I was like, okay, I have, because my wife is like, I don't like how it says that you were married to her.
Yeah.
I have emailed IMDb like 10 times to say, I was never married to that girl.
I just slept with her.
Yes.
Can you just reflect that?
Please. Yeah, just say he fucked
with her.
Yes.
Put it in trivia or something.
But it's like, they still continue to write that I was married to this girl, even though I am telling him it's not true.
Which is more significant than your age, really.
It really is.
Yeah.
It's more important detail.
I spilled my beer.
Come on.
Which drives me nuts. And I'm here.
Cox, you in the car.
So there's only one. So we're in the back of the seat, stoned with Brian Cox. And he's so exhausted, so fatigued. And finally, he just leans against the glass and he's like, whatever happened to craft?
What a bitch.
Oh, wow.
I did Shakespeare in Moscow. What am I doing here?
Does everybody laugh, or do you guys get, like, pulled back?
No, we were we were like, oh, shit.
Whatever happened to Kraft?
I love Kraft.
Yeah.
That guy's a nice guy.
He's great.
He did a great job.
Hold on. I think
Todd's pulled his beer again.
Jay Leno. Jay Leno is in the rafters, and this is the truth. I swear to God, I'm not lying.
Okay.
Can you hear him? Jay? Hey, guys, it's Jay Leno.
Oh, hey, Jay.
How come the guys didn't do my show first?
Well, they've been on your show. You guys have been on Jay's show, right?
No, he never invited us.
Never invited
him. I'll call him up. I'll invite him on. That's all. He hears everything.
He's so ghostly up there.
Yes. I heard you.
Well, what happened was he broke in because he needed a carburetor for one of his cars, and he got stuck in the van.
A 1928 Dusseldorf.
You've got a nice setup here. You got a car with a French bumper sticker on it.
I know. Look at those cars.
It's a Porsche.
Hey, I'm going to ask you what we asked. What's going on over there?
Wait, Jay has another question to ask.
Oh, Kevin.
Where would I plug in?
Who has a question?
Hey, Jay has another question.
Oh, he does?
Oh, he does? But we got to put reverb in your mic then. Hold on.
Okay.
What's going on, Katie?
Wait, hang on.
I leave all this stuff in. It's people love to know what goes on behind the scenes. We've got headset trouble.
It's raw.
You know what I want to do?
Thanks, Katie.
I want to turn on
their
mic.
Can I get a little reverb? Am I Katie?
By the way,
Jay?
We want to hear from Jay Leno again.
Go ahead. Jay, are you there?
Yeah, guy. I was wondering if anybody had any leads on some corporate gigs. I don't know. You guys are doing some comedy club stuff.
Well, Kevin and Steve.
Do you ever do any corporate gigs?
Well, they do mostly
movies.
For the
medical marijuana, for the state troopers and stuff like that. You could do a lot of corporate
gigs. Do you know what? It sounds to me like Jay Leno is not a tough impression to do. I think I can do it.
All right, do it.
Go ahead. Hold on. Jay Leno's
in the wackos of the warehouse here. Okay, go ahead. Put him.
Listen, I was wandering around up here and I was looking for some hair dye for my skunk hairdo.
Oh, jeez.
And I couldn't come across anything.
That's kind of like a Jay Leno fucked Mike Tyson.
Well, you know what?
Don't you think?
Yeah. Let's not start any rumors.
I was going to say it nicer, Kevin. I was going to go. Well, you know what? It's funny. You did one shot. You got 90% there.
It's my first time.
That 10%, you would have gotten out the Mike Tyson. But
I got a little Jewy or Woody Allen. Like if you fucking, you know, it's like, well,
and it means to be pedantic.
All right, so listen.
I don't mean to be pedantic nor facetious in any manner, but yeah.
Hamburger.
Bring it out.
That's great.
That's good. That's good.
I noticed you needed somebody for Memorial Day weekend. My blind xylophone plays. It'd be perfect. It'd be perfect for your room.
Rose?
What were the movies that you guys watched over and over again growing up?
Oh.
Stripes?
Oh, well, Stripes, yeah. Caddyshack.
Yeah.
Blues Brothers.
What happened to Stripes? That could have been... Look, it's a great movie, and tell me if I'm out of school.
And could never be made again because it was the only 5-year period of time when America wasn't involved in any wars. So you couldn't make it now because there's nothing funny about these kids going off to die.
But like that movie, it was a one movie.
Yes.
Act one and two, it was a movie.
And then
act three just became a different movie.
Yeah, but that's like also like... what's the Vietnam movie again? The Stanley Kubrick, Full Metal Jacket.
Same thing. Yes. Like,
when you talk about the movie, all you remember really is that
it's the first two acts
section.
Yeah. I have no idea what we're talking about right now.
Stripes.
Stripes.
Of course, I know it's a movie, but I never saw. I don't think I remember.
Really?
It's too old for you.
Well, that's what I do. I shave off things. I go, I don't remember. That people go, when did you start listening to music? I go, CDs. I will totally lie right there. I will not use the word Rolodex anymore. I will act like I don't even know what it is. I had Rolodex in my act. I used to go, oh, my God, I'm going through the Rolodex of my jokes, and nobody knew what it was. I dropped out of the act. And then not only did I drop it in my act, but the next month somebody else said it. I went, Rolodex, how old are you? I went right for their jugular.
Did you put a new word in its place or not? Like
I just went, I'm going through my mind.
I'm scrawling through my...
That's black-on-black crime right there.
Here's what we got.
I don't even know what that means, but it's funny.
A pot. It is
funny. By the way, see how old I am? I use black on black.
Ah, that's not cool.
Oh, Steve, when you were talking before about you know, you don't the things you say about, oh, there used to be this building, and there you turn into.
Kimball's.
I asked my nephew once. Now, either he was lying to me, if he's lying to me, he's the greatest person in the world because he said what I needed to hear to make me feel better. I go, Tyler, when you look at pictures of me when I was younger, like when I looked at pictures of my parents, it looked like, where was that? What eternity was that? Mm-hmm. He goes, and he thought about it. He was probably like 20 at the time. He goes, does that make sense? Like, I looked at parents, pictures of my parents, and that just looked like, I can't relate. What was it? Yeah. What was it like? Was it just? And he goes, well, maybe because it's color. No, it's. And I went, oh, you're right. He's right. It doesn't look. It made me feel better. Uh-huh. Because when I looked at pictures of my parents, I was like, what the fuck? When was that from? But I look at pictures of now, like when I was younger, and I think, yeah, that still looks pretty much the same. Like, you know.
You want to know something
does
weird?
Does that make any sense? Was that the most boring story ever told?
No, they got more megapixels now.
You know, what,
but that's the problem is you're showing photos, like hard photos, right?
I do.
Photos of you hard, right?
I know. But
Hello. Where are you with that, Chris?
Come on, Chris. He was in the moment.
He was enjoying the joke.
Yeah, screw him for being in the moment.
You know, I feel like we're not... showing them any other, like, we do have other stuff we play. Can you play this? This is a good song. Just so they don't think that's all we have.
I like what you have.
I hope it's not Gautier.
Can you play this?
It better not be Gautier.
This one. The one my fingers
I'll fucking
on.
Murder somebody if Gautier comes on. I'm serious. It's Gautier. Is that Carole King?
What is this?
Carole King?
I can see clearly now the rain is
It is. Hold on, shut this
Kevin,
off.
By the way, Kevin has a great voice.
He does.
He did. Hold on. Put on a song. Get rid of this. Kevin, you were singing a little bit. We're still going to do the thing
I kind of stepped on your song, and I apologize.
Doesn't matter. I can play that song anytime. I don't have your
stupid.
You know what I just realized? iPod karaoke is not going to work because you know how to sing.
No, it's still going to be fun. This guy will make it good. He can eat funny.
Look at that.
Oh, wow. These eyes. Look at that. Guess who?
That was a funny thing you said.
You know, like in,
yeah, I get it.
You get it. Okay. Which one do you want to do?
Jimmy Buffett.
Okay. Yeah, Jimmy Buffett, Margaritaville.
Okay. And by the way, people that are listening are relaxed. Some of them are laying down. Just be where you're
do
at.
Do I get the words? Or have to do the, I
no,
have to
no,
make
no.
The
you
words.
Get the words. Oh. Do you want a reverb?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, hit me with some reverb.
Oh, sure. If you want it. Katie, the guy wants reverb.
I've met Jimmy Buffett before. So.
Is that true?
Yeah,
Coconut Pete from
our movie Club Dread. We sent him up. Yes,
you did.
Bill Paxton plays.
So you guys haven't seen Club Dread, right?
You got to get on that.
Now things are getting awkward. Now things are getting awkward.
Yeah,
Katie's seen it,
but I'm gonna see it. Katie saw it.
Yeah, streaming.
Bill Paxton basically plays
a
guy who was like a month behind Jimmy Buffett. He had the whole same pirate smuggler act.
Oh, that's hilarious.
A month behind.
So he never quite made it.
Yeah, so he's got a song called Pina Coladaberg. But Margaritaville beat him to the punch.
Oh, my God. Oh, it's that simple. Just a little twist like that. Yeah.
And then we wrote we wrote his songs, and we inverted all the chords of Jimmy Buffett's songs.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And just made... Oh, here we go.
Reverb.
Wait, am I singing or let me sing?
Are we both
singing?
You are.
You're going.
Nibbling on sponge cake.
Oh, fuck.
Watching the sun bake. All of those tourists covered with oil.
If I was the director and I said twang it up a little bit.
Strumming my six string.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
On my front porch swing.
Oh,
Jesus.
Shit.
Smell of those shrimp, they're beginning to boil.
Hey, Kevin, it's great. You can even turn it up a little more.
Okay,
appreciate it. You're doing a great job.
Wasting away again in Margaritaville.
May I harmonize?
Yes. Uh-huh. Reverb.
Searching for my lost shaker of salt. Some people claim that there's a woman to blame, but I know it's nobody's fault. I don't know the reason. Stayed here all season. Nothing to show but this brand new tattoo.
Sounds great.
Has it
Sounds
run its
great.
Course yet?
No.
Have you run its course yet?
No.
But it's a real beauty. A Mexican cutie. How it got here, I haven't a clue.
Everybody?
Yeah. Wasting away again in Margaritaville. Everybody twang it up. Searching for my high-law shaker of salt.
Some people claim that there's a woman to blame. I think it could be my fault.
I blew out my flip-flop. Oops.
I did that on purpose.
Down a pop top. Are you going to switch over to one for... Hey, I had to cruise on back home.
You're listening to the Todd Glass Show, America. We're here.
But there's booze in the blender. And soon it will render. That frozen concoction that helps me hang on.
Oh.
Pretty good, huh, guys?
Pretty good.
Wow.
I like it.
I like it.
There's something about just the voice and the echo that faded us into the...
Beautiful.
Into the sunset.
I never realized that he progressively comes to the understanding that it is his fault. He's not certain initially.
Oh, it is his fault, yeah. But, a guy like that doesn't take any blame. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Until
the... Hold on. Guy like First of all, I think, Steve, this is my favorite thing to do. It's weird. I'm not a big fan of karaoke, but I love to have guests on and do this. So put up here. Now, there's a song I do a lot. I wish you could give it a shot.
Okay.
Even put all the songs up if they don't mind, Chris.
Okay.
What do we...
Which one do you want to do?
Okay. Okay. So, Welcome to My World. No, you don't want to do
that. I've never even heard that song.
Okay. How about Luck Be a Lady Tonight? Or
These Eyes.
No, you pick.
These eyes. Yeah.
Okay.
Nice, you know, These Eyes would actually be a favor to me because we did it one night at a live show. The audience did it great, and we didn't record the show by accident. So
is that the one that's like, "Oh, mama's a man gonna see a man on hell like mm-hmm. you"?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And okay. I think that's the only part that everybody should join in on, right?
That's okay. The hardest part for
everyone
to
see. These eyes.
Okay, but I warn you, I really don't know how the song goes.
Love,
what's that?
But they're never gonna see another love like I have with you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll get it.
Okay. I don't know the words, but I'm excited about it.
Put reverb in everybody's voice. Reverb and reverb.
Hello.
Hello. Reverb.
Oh, yeah.
This is
key of C changes D.
No,
E,
wait.
F, okay.
Before we sing the song, hold on. Fade it out. This is a little cheesy, but before we sing the song, we all have 15 seconds with somebody right now. The odds are somebody is smoking. That might sound a little cliche, but your head does go to a very... You're blessed to have the ability to get into somebody's head right now. Is there anything you'd like to say to somebody right now?
Yes.
They just coincidentally are listening to the show.
Okay.
Yes, I got it.
And they're at that special place.
If the good Lord doesn't strike you down for all the evil you've done in your life, then I will.
That's good. That's good.
A lot of reverb for him.
Reverb him up.
Reverb him up. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, Steve.
These eyes cry every night for you. These arms are home to hold you up.
That's hard.
The hurt ends on me, yeah. But I'll never be free. No, baby, no, no. You gave a promise to me, yeah. And you broke it. And you broke it. Hold on.
Voice jam. Voice jam. Maybe you two do the chorus.
Watched you bring my world to an end. This yeah, could not accept and pretend. The hurting's on me, yeah. But I'll never be free, no, 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 oh. You took the vow with me, yeah, and you spoke it, yeah. You spoke it, baby. Oh, these eyes are crying.
Girl,
are crying. These eyes seen a lot of love, but they're never gonna see another one, like I have with you. These eyes
are crying.
I'm crying. These eyes have seen a lot of love, but they're never gonna see another one like I have with you. Oh.
The Todd Glass Show.
These eyes are crying. These ain't the kind of love that I'm ever gonna see another one like I have with you. These eyes cry every night for you. These arms
make love to it.
These arms long to hold your pussy again. Oh yeah. These eyes are crying. These eyes have seen a lot of loves, but they're never gonna see another one like I had with you. Oh. These eyes are crying. I've seen a lot of love, but they're never gonna see another one like I have with you. These eyes, I'm crying.
I can't stop.
I've seen a lot of love, but they're never gonna see another one like I have with you.
Reverb. Thank you. All right, we're done. I love it. You guys, you know what?
You're singing going on in here.
I wish I could. What?
Well, Todd, why don't you do one? Since we've never seen it.
I do it every week.
No.
My desk.
They've never seen it.
Yeah, but it's not. You guys. No. I'm it looks like I'm begging.
Are you too stoned to sing?
How dare you?
What?
How dare you?
I'm a professional baiter.
No. I have an easy time with the first line, but after that, it gets hard. Like, where's the one that goes broomp? You know the song "Luck Be"? Isn't there a song that?
Oh, that's there. That's there.
Play. Like, here's okay. Can put some reverb in my voice, Katie. Here's what I can do. I can do the talking part if I had a 20-piece orchestra. I could sing. Here, let me pause it. I could hold on. No, stop it. Is this the one that goes? Droom?
Yes.
I could sing if I had a 20-piece orchestra. I'm not kidding. Like, one of those guys, he's just rich. He brings the orchestra. All his management tells him it's not worth it. He spends so much money. He makes money, but he, you know, it's just. He doesn't need it. And they could be yelled at when they're not, like, without me there, the conductor would go, when Todd fucking talks and he goes in for that thing, you got to give him a hard cutout. Then I could sing. But it would, here's the old, I could fool people, you know? So there's a whole orchestra. Hold on. 2, 3, 4. They call you Lady Luck, but there's no room for doubt. That's all I could do.
You were fucking fantastic.
Do it again. I think I can get better. Hold on.
I think that would be better without reverb, dare I say.
Yeah, can you turn my reverb off? I never thought I'd say that. Hold on.
No,
stop with
no
the
keep
music.
Keep a little wait, reverb. You want to touch.
He's right. But I feel like my mic, I can't hear myself. Is this me?
I turned you down because you were yelling.
Oh, well, turn the reverb completely off.
Okay. I just want to
okay. Because I need, hello. Testing 1, 2.
Sounds
two.
Great. Sounds
put
great.
A teeny reverb in there. Hello? Okay. Here we go.
Creamy.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for coming out to the Improv. They call you. Hold on, start it over.
Why are you singing at the Improv?
Because that. Well,
why
you're
couldn't
right.
it be a showroom?
Okay. It's home base, man.
There
you're
was
right.
a time.
Home base. I'm in a theater now. Okay. I want to thank you for coming out tonight
to the Laugh Factory.
To the Laugh Factory. Thank you, Balcony. They call you Lady Luck, but there's no room for doubt. See, that's all. You just hit the. People think that's singing. Middle America, they don't fucking know.
Right?
They think, I guess the guy can sing. Just, I mean, he seems he says stuff and the whole chorus plays.
It's speaking forcefully.
Right, but I bet you could play that for Kevin and see. Like with the Sinatra, mm-hmm. like they tell you it's a Kevin. I don't mean to be disrespectful. I love your work, but it's a parody. It's so low.
Okay.
And then you go for that. And then when that music comes in, bring it up a little. Here we go.
Okay.
Not yet. Thank you for joining us tonight, ladies and gentlemen. They call you Lady Luck.
No, that's not breaking.
No, missed it. Totally missed it.
Your first
bada. Fuck you.
No.
All right, we're done. All right, so here's where we're going to wrap it up.
I let you down. Gary wasn't even interested in that. Gary left the table.
Yeah. All of a sudden. That would be like an audience member walking around the room while you're performing.
Not at all.
You're right. You're thirsty. Thank you for thank you for defending yourself.
Not at all. Not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all.
And you're right. Not
Todd
at all.
Back
right.
down yeah. so quick.
Not no, no. But you know what though? It's like starting to haggle over the check with your person at your table while the like the centerpiece of the thing is like the karaoke. This is a, we're closing the show with this now.
This is the this is definitely the climax.
I meant no disrespect, gentlemen.
All righty, I'm John F. Kennedy.
By the way, you know that the thing that's interesting about you is you're tough. Like I would
Seriously?
Believe, I would believe.
Everybody, shut up.
Are you from like Jersey or New York? You
Philadelphia,
East Coaster, right?
Fluffy.
Yeah,
$5.
That was going to be my next
it's
one.
It's the tattoo, right?
You like that?
He's got the forearm tattoo.
What's the tattoo of?
Well, my grandfather, my dad was in art school. He went to the Philadelphia Journalism Art School, and I can't even look at it.
You had him. You fucking
oh,
had
you had me. You had me, and you had already told me that was a lie. And you had me.
Yeah.
I believe that.
I got nervous the night before I was getting it. I went online with my stepbrother, Steven. He likes a shout-out once in a while. And and we picked this design out, and then I went in and they did it, and that's it. I'm not done it.
One time, about a week after he got it, he goes, "You know, I just want people to think that I'm like one of those cool guys who gets tattoos."
No.
And I said, "Todd, you are one. You are a guy who got a tattoo.
Right.
That means you are one of those guys."
I'm going to edit this.
Oh,
what I exactly said was. I go, you know, I want to be like one of those cool guys that gets a tattoo. And he goes, "Well, Todd, you did get a tattoo." He goes, "Would you say you're like, hey, I want to be like one of those guys that does stand-up comedy?" Like, you do stand-up comedy.
That's all right. You can leave that in.
In my heart, I don't feel like a tattoo person.
Right.
I got the tattoo, to be honest, and I've said this before, so I could wear alligator shirts ironically. It's like, look at that guy. He's obviously like a not an alligator guy. Look
Even
at him.
Though he really wants to wear alligator shirts.
This is also I could wear alligator shirts.
So you can wear an alligator shirt.
Because now it's sort of like, oh, the guy's got a tattoo. Yeah. He's not really an alligator. It would be like if you saw like, I don't know, I can never think of, you know, I can never think of bands or music. And I'll give you an example. This weekend, I was talking about the silly music I play on the show.
Yeah.
And I was saying to somebody, I go, that's not the – I like good music, too. I don't think that's silly music I play in the show. It's not like I think it's Debbie Gibson good. Like joking, like the guy who doesn't really know good music. So we all went around for and we were like doing our version of that guy. So that's what we can do now really quick. Just give your version of like, you know, like you don't know good – oh, I'm not saying it's good, like good – progressive, good, respected music. Justin Bieber good.
Right.
But anyway, we don't have to do that, but – God, how come I lob these bits out sometimes at people,
know.
And then I get scared while
we
lobbing
that,
them
we
out?
We do that, too. We do that all the time.
Let me see if I get it.
I think.
Okay.
I don't think it's – I mean, it's good. I don't think it's Beatles good.
No, you don't get it. I'm going to edit this out and make you guys look horrible. You got your hour special on Comedy Central. I'm on Netflix. I love Netflix. They're very good.
Netflix is the best.
So are we. We're on Netflix, too.
Netflix is the best.
Well, it's –
I cut the end of it out.
By the way, that's isn't
like
that
the beginning's a compliment?
No, the end.
I know, but play the beginning part. Doesn't sound like things are going great. There.
That's the Price is Right, isn't it?
Yes.
It's
when
they
lose, they feel they need that to amplify it. They already lost a goddamn car. They need this.
Did you guys hear about the one of the models from Price is Right? She just sued the show because they wouldn't let her come back after maternity leave. She won a huge settlement.
Yeah.
What sucks is the judge made her guess how much the settlement was.
Is that true?
The first part is. The second part isn't.
That's a really great joke.
One, 120, 200, 203, 340. All right, here's how we're going to have to say goodbye.
She had to putt.
Oh. You guys were, this was, I don't know how, what is this?
You went a dollar
that
over.
Horrible wheel.
Just think when you walked in here how... You walked in here. We're all going to talk about our
God,
memory.
God, you guys
tonight.
Remember that? That was a long time ago.
I just remember you guys. If you don't mind, if we could all end the show by just telling a little story about what we remember about tonight. This is Paul Anka. Do you remember the times of your life? And by the way, I've said this before, but I'm going to tell you two to go do it when you get home. Go home. Look through pictures. Do you have kids?
Yeah.
How many children
three.
Do you have? You have three children?
Yeah, I do.
Out of here.
I do. Yeah.
How old are they?
9, 7, and 4.
Wow. He's got a whole life outside of here.
And 9, 7, and 4. And you?
I have a 14-month-year-old boy.
First of all, you guys, you should know this. You both look great.
Thank you.
You never know when people are going to come in. You're going to be
Thank
like, geez.
You have a nice blouse.
There you go. Do you remember?
I remember that.
Why you got to say I got a nice blouse? First of all, I fucking love that. The guy can't get mad. You're like, what? I said it's a nice blouse.
What?
It's like if you call someone a lady. Hey, you ladies having fun? We're not ladies. Hey, the important thing is that you ladies having fun.
Right. I'm going to admit something right now. When Steven said that one of the investors went bankrupt, I pictured him losing on Wheel of Fortune and the thing went to bankrupt. Isn't that dumb?
Nothing's dumb.
So
Well, we're going to have to say goodbye.
Wait, that's all the reminiscing we're going to do?
No, no.
Yeah, reminiscing.
We're going to start now.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Gotcha.
Well, I remember, you know, we were all sitting in here, and it just seems like, and we'll go, we'll let those guys, we'll all go, and then we're going to let you two reminisce the last.
Okay.
But I remember, can we put a little reverb in my mic? We're going to fucking reminisce here. Why don't we spend the money? And
do you need reverb for everything?
Yes.
Okay.
It makes the voice sound fantastic.
It is more expensive.
Solves every problem.
Do you remember the times? Well, I remember that I was sitting up here, and I was like, you know, the guys are going to be here. I want to be ready for them. So I was yelling at everybody. And then they're like, well, he's out there. He's just, like, sitting in his car. So we're like, you know, are they coming together? I don't know what they're doing. And then when you guys walked up there, I just thought, what a breath of fresh air. Mm. You could tell you were fun. You were easy to talk to. And it just seems like the years just passed away, but what a night. And the thing that I wanted to tell you mostly, which I forget, I'm trying to work it into this bit, but it really doesn't. I should have done it before I start this bit, was if you have kids, go look through pictures and play this song. If there's one thing I leave you with today, look at pictures while you listen to this music, and you won't be able to not cry.
I was just going to whack off to this song.
That could work too. Gary, doesn't it seem like it was just yesterday when they got here?
Yeah, and you were yelling at us because we weren't being professional enough and we weren't ready. And then you sort of turned on a dime and were so sweet to them. But I think they knew that you had just been yelling at us.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh God, I remember just, you know, it seems like it was weeks ago, but like I remember when you asked for more reverb at the beginning of this bit. Do you guys remember that? That was fun. You came in with a joke about masturbating. Mm-hmm. God, that was really what I'm going to take away from tonight.
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
That was a good
what
time.
A memory you have.
Good times.
Hard to forget. Hard to forget. Good
what
moments like that.
When Brian Cox really threw them under the bus in that situation. Oh, what about Kraft?
Yeah. What about Kraft? Remember that story, you guys?
Oh, my God. That's
James Lipton, eat your heart out.
Where is ago. Brian Kraft now? Or what? Not
Brian Cox.
Kraft. Where?
I don't know. I mean, he's
probably in London.
Some major blockbuster, I'm sure.
Troy or
Star.
Something like that. He's been in so many movies.
Troy.
Yeah.
Hey, Todd, you know what is hilarious? Do you remember that time when we were talking about Super Troopers and We started talking about an actor who was supposed to be in the movie. I think it was John Goodman.
Yeah.
And you
I
actually
don't know if it was John Goodman, but I certainly... Here's the guy that's wrong and starts getting cocky. It wasn't John Goodman, but I know what you're saying.
Okay. you remember?
I'm positive it wasn't him.
Do you remember who it was? Because I can't remember.
I don't remember who it was, but I'm positive.
Charlize Theron, I think.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
It was him.
That was hilarious.
It was John Goodman, and I didn't know that he was in the movie. And that was funny, because it just seems like that was yesterday. I just remember sitting there listening to the guy's interview, and I'm like... Anyway. Kevin?
I do remember so long ago, I was walking up the stairs, and the first voice I heard was Todd Glass ripping someone a new asshole.
Because he's tough. Todd is tough,
which is good. And I thought, God, that's a little harsh. That's a little harsh, you know? And I sat down here, and the first zinger I threw out there...
I loved it.
Chris was late on the music cue. And I thought, maybe he should have reamed him out a little harder. Right.
Well, the reason I didn't, I'm trying not to make him, like, every show has that guy, but you know what?
Yeah.
I think if we learn one thing tonight, and Kevin, I'm going to tell you the truth, I think you're right, we need to ride him a little harder.
Yeah.
We're a little too easy on him.
I'm just saying. It's just a memory I had. I'm just reminiscing.
Well, everybody,
do you guys have any dates you want to plug?
Oh, yes, December 6th, 7th, and 8th at the American Comedy Company in San Diego.
Oh, that's this weekend.
Yes, this weekend.
That'll be... Tonight, Friday night, if I'm properly
correct.
Adjusting.
Is that tonight is Friday night.
Do you have an opening act, or what do you do?
Todd, what are you?
I'm there.
Todd, we get an open weekend.
Come on down.
We would love it if you came and wanted to be our surprise guest.
Where are you performing?
The American Comedy Company in San Diego.
And San Diego's a little far. Irvine, I was like, fuck, this will be great.
Irvine be awesome.
Hey, at least, you know that means a lot. Irvine, I would drive to Irvine. I would do it just for the fun of it. But
okay.
San Diego, I would say yes now, but then later I'd be like...
But then, on that morning.
I don't want to do that.
A lot of traffic.
We're actually giving a stand-up his first crack, his first try at opening for us, a guy named Eric Levy, who's going to be our opener this weekend.
That's great.
Yeah.
Eric Levy.
Yeah.
Sure it's not Levy?
Yeah, no, it's not. It's
Levy.
Yeah, okay. Levy breaks.
Well, guys.
Yeah. And what else can we plug?
Oh, we
have a special coming out on Netflix. I'm not.
Oh, you do?
You know, I think we're talking about it.
And what is it called?
Fat Man, Little Boy.
Fat Man, Little Boy.
Yeah.
And that's that's about your tour that you're on.
Yeah,
right now.
That's our tour. We shot it in we shot it at the Punchline in San Francisco.
Guys, I'm pretty sure that was a Paul Newman movie about the making of the atomic bomb.
It was.
Oh, okay.
It was.
All right. Yeah. So you guys
was
are re-releasing it, but
that's what they called.
Wait, yeah, is that true, Gary?
Well,
the first two nuclear bombs were known as Fat Man and Little Boy.
Okay, yeah. So it was Fat Man and Little Boy, but yours is called Fat Man.
Wait, why are we asking him if that's true? There's no way that's true. Why is my voice?
Totally. I think that is true.
It is true.
It is true.
It's fact.
You swear to God.
Fat Man and Little Boy.
Swear to George Carlin.
Very clever takeoff on this.
Oh, we sound like idiots right at the end.
Did you do that on purpose?
Yes.
Of course they did. Idiot. Notice how I don't know anything at all. And I was serious. Well, because once you know it, it's of course they did it on purpose. Once you know all the information. Oh,
you have to. No, that's. Listen, you know what that is, though? I'm sorry, Todd. I think you need to spend some time in Philadelphia. Because that's very Hollywood behavior. That's what happens in Hollywood. Hollywood, you blame.
You blame. And you tend to, like, you don't want to have an opinion. We do this bit. It's the guy who tries to agree. Like, I'm going to go say something, and you obviously are going to say something completely different from me and cut me off. You know, I watched Letterman the other night. Just stop it already.
He's as brilliant as ever, isn't he?
Thank you.
Thank you for picking me up.
Yeah. I was like, what's going on?
I was a step behind.
Chris, this is when you give him shit for not getting his cue. Yeah, hit his cue, man.
No, but that's what happened. I realized I missed the first word of what you were saying, and I realized that I was behind on a bit to be.
You guys were a joy. That's what
do you guys have a website? Are you on Twitter?
Yeah, we're on Twitter, at Steve Lemmy.
Mm-hmm.
At Heffernan Rules.
We are on Facebook. I think it's
Heffernan Lemmy.
Look at Heffernan Lemmy. We're on Instagram, Heffernan Lemmy.
You know what? Sometimes I forget to do this, but I do think it's good because people listening to the show, I always forget when I listen later. I didn't mention all that stuff. So, and the name, if someone goes on your internet, on your website to get your tour dates, I guess that would be. Did we just say that?
Yeah, they're up there. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus.
It's our last
HeffernanLemmy.com.
Okay. Say it again.
HeffernanLemmy.com.
And the name of the show that you guys are touring with?
Fat Man, Little Boy.
That's hence the name of the movie coming out on Netflix.
Yeah, it'll be on Netflix in January.
Okay.
Well, I'm done.
Buddy.
We covered it all.
Are you done?
Yeah, I think we're covered.
Is there anything else?
That's great. Thank you for having us. Pleasure.
We have the ability. We're not going to do it, but like, you know, in the big shows where they have someone in the audience. Sir, you over there? Did you have a question? Yes? Well, your name and where you're from?
My name is Aaron. I'm from Des Moines.
Oh, welcome.
Yes, what is your question, please? All right, there you go.
Did he say remember Super Troopers? Yeah.
Well, that's like an homage to Chris Farley. My biggest fear to be that guy. God bless you both.
Thank you.
I don't really, you know, I mean that in a comedic way. I mean, I want you to have good. I don't want you to think, oh, is he religious? Sure. Oh,
guys, this was so much fun. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, let's do a show at the Trocadero in Philadelphia together.
You know, let me tell you something. If you did, I would love to be in Philly. I would open up for you guys in a heartbeat.
That's
in Philly.
Well, I mean, we'd all do, like, just do, you know, all three of us. That's a great place to do a show.
You know, I've never done a show there, but Chris Hardwick,
you'd love it.
Who you know, basically this is under his Nerdist umbrella.
Nerdist man,
he
Mr.
just
Nerdist.
Did a show there and had a really good, at the Trocadero. They did two shows.
Great.
Have you been to Helium in Philly?
No. We've done
that's a great club,
but never been to Helium.
Well, I'm going to talk to Meredith. That's her main club.
I know.
To fucking get on it.
Really?
Meredith at Pulse Communications.
Hi, Meredith.
Pulse PR.
Pulse PR.
Yeah. She answers the phone.
Hello, Pulse PR.
Maddie, hold on. I'll be with you in 1 second.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that okay? Matt, I know you think I'm a horrible mutter.
Stop it! Stop it! No, I'm on a business call.
Wait, Meredith has a kid?
Yeah, he's 14. No, I should have said 30. It would have made it funnier.
Wait, but does she really have a kid?
14's funny.
Yeah, she has
his name is Maddie.
Maddie.
Huge Gary Goldman fan.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he loves Todd Glass. She tells everyone the same thing. You guys are like, well, I think he probably...
I really believe her, though.
We're new with her.
God bless America. God bless the troops.
Yes, thank you for
your service. Bye, everybody. I like to end dramatic like this. Fade into another song about something that's going to make people cry, and that's the show.
For the children.
Reverb.
God bless you.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.